Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand here with you for another episode. And when I get to do one of my favorite things, which is to talk to amazing, amazing people who are just sharing their light in the world. And I love being able to do that. And today I am blessed to have Travail C.W. Lynch with us, and he is a self-worth specialist. He's got a new book out called What is Enough, and he's also the founder. I love this. The name of his company is called I Am the Possible, which is built on the philosophy that I and my possibilities are one and the same. Everything I hope to be tomorrow, I already am today. I love that. I might ask you later. I think where you came up with that, because I love that. But anyway, just to go on and share with you a little bit more about this amazing gentleman. He has been speaking before audiences, captivating them for over 19 years. He speaks to both the business and faith-based communities and really continues to present innovative ideas that spark the imagination and inspire audiences to see themselves in ways they've never imagined possible. So welcome, Travail, to Live, Love, Engage. I'm so glad you're here today.
Oh, thank you, Gloria. I really appreciate you having me on. Again, thank you for this moment. I am so grateful for any moment that I can share with another human being because our time is so precious. It is the one asset. It is the one investment that we cannot get back. So where we choose to invest it, where we choose to spend it, if that's, you know, the word that you want to use, it is so, so important. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, absolutely. And I know that you're going to enlighten our listeners and viewers on YouTube as well today. So I thought where we could get started is a little bit about, tell us a little bit more about you and what your story is and how, what brought you to become now a motivational speaker and author.
Yes. So my background, raised by my grandmother, mother and father, just weren't, let me kind of summarize, just weren't mentally and spiritually mature enough. They had me when they were teenagers, when they were young. And so I was raised by my grandmother. I grew up in the Midwest, born in Chicago, moved to Ohio not long after. I grew up in an environment that I believe was extremely conducive to what it is that I do now. I was just having a conversation with my children on Sunday. We get around with my wife, and I have four children, and we kind of get around and we just have family discussions. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we talked about yesterday is how important environment is to personal emergence, as I call it. And I find that the life experiences and environments lead to the emergence of, you know, of what God has given us and the potential and the possibilities that he's given us. And so my experiences and environment was extremely hard. I like to tell people that I had my self-value and worth literally, you know, stripped away from me through being molested by family members, molested by total strangers, being bullied because I was overweight when I was younger. I began stuttering at the age of 7. And so I was always an outcast because I couldn't articulate and I couldn't speak as well as other students. And so between the bullying, not having a father, not having a mother in the home, all of that really led to me feeling worthless, feeling not worthy of much of anything, love, acceptance, because I was always the outcast. Yeah. And so at the age of 18, I had a full ride to college and I dropped out. I dropped out because I didn't feel, now that I look back at it, I didn't believe that I was worthy of an education, of a better life. You know, why did it matter? At the age of 20, I had a gun put to my head. I was found, you know, I found myself in the backseat of a vehicle and I was being robbed. I had a gun put to the side of my head. And the individual wanted, at that time, I was addicted to marijuana. And I think that, you know, that played a role in me trying to maybe escape my reality.
Oh, sure.
And so I was addicted to marijuana and I just purchased an ounce of marijuana. I paid $120 for it. And I always tell the story that I was willing to give my life for $120 because the gentleman ran up, he put the gun to my head, and he didn't just put the gun to my head, he pressed it against the side of my head.
Yeah.
And he asked me on three different occasions to give me the weed. Now, again, I'm not using the words he used. You can just, yeah. you know, let your imagination go wild.
Right.
He used some other words, but he was saying, give me what you have.
Yeah.
And I told him no on three different occasions. And on that third no, he instantly pulled the trigger.
Oh, my God.
And no bullet came out. Praise God. Thank God.
Wow.
But I heard the hammer. I don't know if you've ever been close enough to a gun or had one put to your head before. Mm-hmm. But there's a hammer that pulls back. And that's where the bullet is supposed to be released through the chamber. And, you know, for whatever mysterious reason, Gloria, it didn't come out. But I thank God that he saved and preserved my life. But it was at that point that I always look back and I say, I cared more about a $120 bag of marijuana than I did my own life. I was 20 years old and I was willing to die. I was willing to have a man put a bullet in my head for something that was so worthless. In fact, I always tell the story that I smoked that marijuana, all of it, within that day, later on that day.
Wow.
And so it was here today, it was gone tomorrow, but I was willing to give up my life for that. And so those are the stories that lead me to why I do what I do today as a self-worth specialist, specializing mm-hmm. in helping people, as I say, to see what you are so that you can like what you see. I think there's a deficit of people that truly like what they see when they look at themselves. Because by definition, the word like is translated to be acceptable, to be satisfactory, and to be enough. Mm-hmm. And if you're not able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm satisfactory. Yep. I'm acceptable. Yep. I am enough. Just as I am. If you're not able to do that, I believe that that is why I was created. That's my purpose. That is my passion. And those are the people that I want to reach and to minister to.
Mm, absolutely. And I would say, I believe that's why the gun didn't go off that day is because God had a different plan in mind for you and a good story to tell. Well, not a good story, but a persuasive story to tell, let's put it that way. And hopefully a cautionary tale for those out there. It is interesting. I mean, I don't have quite as dramatic a tale as you, but in a way similar, when I was in my 20s, I was out shopping with a girlfriend. I had birthday money with me in my wallet. Mm. And as we were leaving, I couldn't find anything, didn't spend my money. And a kid came up to us, started raising a gun to take my purse. And my immediate thought was, no way. And I'm not even sure I thought anything. I just took off and ran, got in my car, locked the doors, left my poor friend there and to fend, you know, and he took her purse. But it was like, I wasn't going to let him take the money. And it's crazy. I could have been killed for the same thing. And I think it is too, because I didn't, I for a long time, it didn't feel worthy as well for the way I grew up. But that's another story for another time. I'm glad that you finally came to that realization. Well, and maybe that would be actually a good sort of segue to talk about your book, because I like the subtitle of it. It's What is Enough? How to Lighten Your Load and Find What Makes You Happy. Yeah. What was the inspiration for that? Where did you come up with that? Why did you decide to write that book?
Right. So the inspiration came from the fact that that's both a question and an answer. I believe that that's a question that's that's steaming in the heart of so many people right now, whether they can articulate it with a voice or if it's just one of those unspoken questions, what is enough, right? As a husband, he's asking, you know, I've done everything for my wife, but I can never seem to please her. What's enough?
Yeah.
The father is saying, hey, I've done everything for my children, but they don't seem to, you know, be happy, or I can't seem to satisfy my children. Mm-hmm. What is enough? I'm working hard on my job. I'm trying to climb that corporate ladder. But, you know, every time I get up another level, I'm looking for that magical satisfaction, that magical, you know, place of joy and happiness and peace. And I'm making more money, and there's more money in my bank account, and I'm driving a better car, and I got a better house, but I still feel empty. There's still a void there. And we're asking the question, what is enough? I've done everything I know to do, and it never feels like it's enough. And so it's written to, it's written in a voice, in terms of, you know, I'm speaking to. I've had many reviews of the book, and it seems like it did what it was intended to do, which was to be a conversation. Because I believe that I'm writing not only to myself, because for many years of unworthiness, right, you start to develop these systems, I call them, systems of significance. Because one of the things about humanity is that we're all hardwired to have a sense of significance about ourselves. We all want to have a place. We all want to fit in. That's why it's so devastating when you don't fit in, when people alienate you, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm writing to those people that are saying, what is enough? And the answer, I'm maybe giving too much away, but but the answer to that question is the question, what is enough? You are enough. What you are is enough. And when we discover what we are, that's why I say I help people to see what they are so that they can like what they see. What has been the missing element of our society? And so that's really what inspired me, is that I am the person that I'm writing to. I know the deep hurt and the deep pain and the deep depression and the lonely nights and the tears and the darkness of trying to earn something that has always been there. I've always been enough. I just didn't see it. And so I believe that there's many people out there, you are enough, but you have to learn how to see it. So I always tell people, your significance is not something that you earn, it's something that you learn.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and then I'm sure that you have some ways of helping people to figure that out in the book. So you will still need to buy the book. So I think that he just right. gave away the answer. You're going to have to read more.
Yeah, you will have to definitely. You're right. It's a process.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'd like, the name of your company is I love the name of it. I am the possible. Now, why? And so I'm going to ask you a question, because I'm just, as I'm thinking about this, because I have a sign up in my office that says, with God, all things are possible. And I noticed that you didn't say like, I am possible, but you did say, I am the possible. So yes. What's the meaning behind that, and what prompted you to come up with that, and what can people take away from that?
Yeah, great question. Thank you for asking. That's my favorite topic. This whole metamorphosis of life. I am the possible. even as you read the slogan earlier, I and my possibilities are one and the same. Everything I hope to be tomorrow, I already am today. And so if you break down this word, I am, that is a present tense statement. I am.
Yeah.
The possible is a future tense statement. And so it is this merging of present tense and future tense self. And the way I like to explain it is through the life of a butterfly. And I won't take you through all four stages. That'll probably take me about 20 or so minutes. But let me kind of summarize, because I was inspired by the fact that when I first wrote the book, and when I was first just entertaining this revelation that I and my possibilities are one and the same, it really stemmed from me being on a bus ride one day. And I can't explain it. I can't explain it. All I can say is this was my experience. Mm-hmm. When I got on the bus one day, I began to just people watch. I was looking at people. And as I was looking at people, I began to notice their eyes. And it was as if their eyes were speaking to me. Again, it was one of those just surreal moments. And their eyes were telling me a story. They were telling me a narrative. And they were saying, I really want to like myself, but not like this. And that's all I heard was, I really want to like myself, but not like this. And out of that revelation, out of that moment, out of that spark of inspiration, came this philosophy that we're waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for something to occur. We're waiting for something to change. We're waiting for the possible me to show up before I like myself. So the possible you is this: as soon as I get my degree, as soon as I graduate, as soon as I get married, as soon as I make 100,000, as soon as I do this, as soon as I get my record right, as soon as I get this, you are holding yourself in suspense for a future state. But you and that thing that you desire, because what you desire really isn't the external state. What you desire is a place of acceptance.
Yeah.
And so you and that possibility, that dream, that hope, that ambition, that future you, you're already that right now, today. In fact, you've always been that. And so the best way that I can explain it when I share the life of a butterfly is that, scientifically proven, a butterfly goes through four developmental stages.
Right.
But if you look at it from a scientific perspective, a butterfly is a butterfly at the original stage, at the point of conception. Mm-hmm. So when it's the egg,
right,
the caterpillar, the pupa or the cocoon, right, and then the winged right creature, all four stages, it already is a butterfly. So it already, I already am everything I hope to be. We're at an egg stage, but we hope to be the butterfly, because society, and I have 100% success rate with this. Whenever I speak on stage or whenever I do Zoom meetings like this, I always say, somebody break me out a pen and pad. I say, now. And I call on anybody, because I can promise, I mean, I'm so confident in my ability to always get this right, right, Gloria? I say, draw me a butterfly. And they always draw the fourth stage.
Right.
Always.
Yeah.
No one ever draws the egg, that little white ball that's on a tree. They never draw a caterpillar. They never draw the cocoon. They always draw the butterfly. And the reason they do that is because our society celebrates, it emphasizes, it honors and glorifies the final stage, when it's beautiful, when it's flapping its wings, when it's going from flower to flower, and it's so liberated and it's so beautiful. And two scientific truths that I always point out whenever I do that presentation. Number one, that's called the adult butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
It has about 2 weeks of life.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very short. Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
So your glory years, boom, just like that. So I like to draw the audience in and say, now, wait a minute, are you going to wait for your final stage that's going to last like a blink in the eye before you start to love and embrace and accept yourself? When you have an opportunity from egg stage, all of those stages, all of that development, all of that life, you could already be, as I like to say, flying without wings.
Yeah.
You can be flying already on the inside. Despite your situation, despite your circumstance, despite how things on the outside look, you can be soaring on the inside, because you and your possibilities, the egg and the butterfly, you're already everything that you're ever going to become.
I hope that makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. And I love that. I really do. I think that is so powerful. Yeah, to really... Well, it's like there's a quote, and I forget who said it now. It's like, why wait? The time will never be just right.
Never.
Because you have everything you need right now. So just start acting like the butterfly in whatever stage of that butterfly life you're in. You don't have to be waving your wings right now.
Yes, right.
Yeah. One of the things that intrigued me about you when I was doing researching and deciding, saying, "Ooh, I think I want to have this gentleman on my podcast today," was one of the talks that you give. I think it's called "What's Your Sign?" And I thought it was intriguing because you explained something about, and it's not like, you know, what's your sign astrology wise. It's it's more about that we are created as a sign. Can you explain a little bit about that and what you mean by that?
Right. Yes. So a part of my philosophy and a part of the things that I teach students is the fact that I, again, this is kind of my philosophy, everything birthed out of this idea of I am the possible, is that we were created to not simply make a contribution, but we were created to be a contribution. Mm-hmm. Our very lives represent a contribution. And so with that being a foundational, you know, philosophy and train of thought, when I look at any sign, and we can name a few signs if we're familiar with Starbucks. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have a presentation coming up in a couple of weeks where I'm creating my PowerPoint, and I went through and I grabbed a Starbucks sign with no words on it. Mm-hmm. Didn't have any words. It's just the little white and green symbol.
Yeah.
I grabbed the McDonald's arches. Made sure I didn't grab one with the words on it.
Right.
I grabbed the Nike sign.
Yeah.
Just a little swoosh, but no words on it, right? Yeah. Because I wanted to take the audience through this idea that I want you to pick out signs, just signs, no words. Mm-hmm. And the way that I explain us being a sign is, if you look at the Nike sign, what color is it? Normally, it's black and white.
Right, yeah.
If you look at a Starbucks sign, what color is it? It's white and green.
Yeah.
If you look at a McDonald's sign, what color is it? It's usually a red or a yellow.
Yellow.
Right? Yeah. And so you start to look at these distinct attributes. Mm-hmm. And without having any words, if I'm driving down the street and I see a Starbucks sign, it's going to direct me toward, now, whether we tap into this consciously or not, mm-hmm. when we see Starbucks sign, it indicates, it tells me coffee is nearby.
Right.
If I see a McDonald's sign, hamburgers are nearby. If I see the Nike sign somewhere up on a billboard or in a storefront, gym shoes are nearby.
Yeah.
It indicates what exists, what's available, and it points to a direction. Because if I'm on a street, and the Starbucks sign is down the road somewhere, well, where I am isn't where the coffee is. But it does tell me that if I continue in this direction, then eventually I'm going to get to some coffee. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a businesswoman, a businessman, you're going to get to a space where you can get free Wi-Fi. You can have a business meeting. You can take a load off between your breaks and right. And so all of these things tie into the fact that by just the sign alone, you are informed, you are directed, there is an indication of what is available. And then I look at the human life and I say, don't we all have gifts? Don't we all have something that we've never gone to school for, but we do extremely well? Don't we all have talents? Don't we all have something to contribute to other people? Don't we all look extremely different? Mm-hmm. Don't we all have unique, one-of-a-kind characteristics and attributes? Don't we all have unique perspectives? How you can take this bottle of water, and I can say half full, but you say half empty, and it's the same bottle of water?
Right.
You have your perspective. You have your way of seeing. You have your way of thinking, right? Mm-hmm. Things that are happening within our society. Two people can be put in a room. What do you think? I think that's a tragedy. What do you think? That's just life. Wait a minute, it was the same occurrence,
right?
Two different trains of thought. And so I just kind of go through the list and I say, if you have a unique history, background, gifts, talents, the way you look, the way you sound, the way you speak, the way you articulate, the way you think, the way you reason, the way you live, your likes, your dislikes, your loves, your hates, if you are that uniquely shaped and formed, then you are here on purpose. You, in all of that, just like the Starbucks sign doesn't look like the McDonald's sign, and the McDonald's sign doesn't look like the Nike sign, you in and of yourself, You represent a contribution that points us in a direction. You lead us to something. Because when you take time to self-evaluate, self-assess, and self-discover, Gloria, you're going to be able to put all of those pieces. It's like gumbo. It's like all those little pieces mm-hmm. go into a pot and they make something. And so there's different elements of any other sign that we see, just like there's an element to you. You put all those things into a pot, you stir them all up, and you come up with this collaborative contribution. Because all of those things that we just named, gifts, talents, perspectives, thoughts, ideas, cries, smiles, all of those things come together and they culminate to equal something in this world. Something moves you. There's something that you care about. There's something that you're passionate about. There's something that makes you cry. There's something that makes you smile. There's something that moves you, and that's an indicator to the sign that you represent. And if we would pay attention to you, if we would watch you, observe you, listen to you, if we would exercise empathetic listening to really understand you, we would discover that you're pointing us somewhere. You're showing us something. You're revealing something to us. Mm-hmm. The problem, though, in our society is that, unlike the signs that we talked about, people don't pay attention to each other as much. And that's what makes my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's what I was going to say, is that unfortunately there are a lot of people there who would still say to you, well, yeah, sure, that sounds great, but I don't have any talents, or I don't have any, there's nothing special about me, and there's other people that are better than me that can do mm-hmm. things better than I do. And it's sad. We get in, and I'm saying we, because even I find myself getting into that trap sometimes too, comparing myself mm-hmm. To others and sometimes feeling less than, even though I, later I'll be like, no, you're not. But it's, I think sometimes this little part of our brain that is giving us false information sometimes. And it's I believe sometimes that it's well-meaning, but just still isn't helpful.
Right,
I think.
Right.
Yeah. And so do you work with people? Like, do you actually coach people, or are you just helping people through, like, you just do, I shouldn't say just, speaking and writing books. So to helping people to realizing that they are the possible.
Yeah. Currently just, primarily the two channels that are currently available is, just booking through or booking for speaking. Mm-hmm. Right now everything's virtual. So whether it's your virtual event, church event, but normally it's a speaking platform. Mm-hmm. And then obviously through the book sales, mm-hmm. I am beginning to work on something that will allow for a smaller group setting mm-hmm. where I can coach smaller groups mm-hmm. And work with smaller groups, looking into some things through Facebook, looking into some things through the Zoom platform, because I've facilitated small groups and been extremely successful with those small groups through my church and through other organizations. And so I know that it works. I know that I can do it pretty well. And it's seeming like people are wanting that more than, just the videos that I put out or the content that I put out. It's seeming that people are wanting a little more hand holding and mm-hmm. a little more, hey, take me through some steps. Help me to actually do this. And I'm starting to see the value of it. Mm-hmm. Because someone can only get so much through the speaking. So the one-on-one coaching, that I think that's very far off, if ever. But the small group settings, the more small group coaching mm-hmm. sessions, I definitely have an interest in that. And so that's in development.
Well, I think that'll be very powerful, because I know I've participated in like masterminds and group coaching programs and things like that. And it's really wonderful when you bring a group of people together, you know, and like you said, a small group, you know, no more than let's say 10 people, because everybody does bring their own unique experiences and observations and they can point out things that maybe you don't see because you've got, you know, blinders on and you don't see things that other people can see in you. And not only things that maybe you're missing, but also some of the brilliance that you have that you're not seeing. So it's good to have other people affirm that in you. So that'll be good that you're able to do that. One last thing I wanted to talk with you about, you know, because we've mentioned this has been a extraordinary year that we've been going through. It's the end of July as we're recording this. And, you know, we've had the pandemic. And then it's also been a lot of pent-up anger and frustration in the Black community and just people of color in general with the way things have been going on. So I wanted to get your take on you know, the Black Lives Matter movement or, you know, and what people can either do to educate themselves and just anything that you have, you know, that you want to share about that.
Yeah. I would say, and this is really just from my own personal experience, and that's really the best that I can give you in terms of any suggestions or advice. Let it inspire, you know, personal change, personal transformation, but let it inspire long-term effectiveness. Let me say that. I haven't attended any of the rallies, holding signs, marching, being on any street corners. Not that those things are not bad,
right?
Or not that those things aren't good, I should say.
Yeah.
Not that I have a problem with any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I just look through different lenses, and the lenses that I look through is how can I use my natural bend, my natural organic shape. Mm-hmm. How has God fashioned me to be most effective in my contribution to humanity? And because when I look at a police officer who would on film take the life of another individual, I don't even care about his color.
Right.
If a man would take the life of another man, obviously we can go and we can deep dive into all of the other elements of that.
Right.
But where I specialize when it comes to self-worth, that individual who committed that crime, they lack personal self-worth. If you see your worth, the moment you see your worth, then you'll see worth in every human being. It's impossible to see yours, but not see mine.
Yeah.
I promise you. You will not be able to see yours and not see mine. Because when you see yours, you see that we all are funneled through the same source, the same creative, infinite power, wisdom, and love. We are all from the same, we are all cut from the same cloth.
Right.
And so I like to say, if what's been going on with Black Lives Matters, the murdering of Blacks, Latinos, the injustices that we see in our nation, if you want to do anything, I say seek God's direction in how he desires to use you in your unique way. Now that may mean he'll send you out in the streets because we need people in the streets. We need people at City Hall. We need lawyers and those who are in politics to help, you know, affect change. But we also need people like me who will show up in the social media space or who will write the next book.
Yeah.
Who will contribute through what I am able to contribute to. And so I think really what I'm trying to say is don't be intimidated into or psychologically forced into just doing what everyone else is doing. Because I know, on the underbelly of this is there's pressure from our own kind that if you don't do it like we're doing it, then you're not really down. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, if you're not holding a picket sign, then you're not really serious about this thing. Yeah. If you're not marching to City Hall and yelling and chanting, then you don't really care about your people. No, yes, I do. I just think that I'm going to be a lot more effective by doing what I am designed to do. So if there's any message that I would want to send is seek what ways you are inspired to make long term. Because see, I'm going to be writing books until I go home with God. I'm going to keep on writing books. I'm going to keep on sharing, right? I'm going to keep on speaking until I go home with God. So that's woven within me. That's a part of what I am. So that's there is my best contribution. And every listener, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's listening audibly, you have a way that you can contribute that is unlike anyone else. And it will fit. You will feel comfortable in your skin when you're doing it. You will be confident when you're doing it. It will flow. It won't feel forced, but you will be able to flow in it. And that is your sweet spot. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to channel your energy and your contribution.
I think that is excellent advice, but it's absolutely true. Just look within and ask yourself, or if you're praying or whatever you believe, but definitely ask for guidance and see what feels right to you, because you're right. You can't let peer pressure, we have peer pressure when we're kids, but there's peer pressure when you're an adult too. And we can't let that control us. We need to do what's best for us. And you're right. There are people who are going to be absolutely great at marching. There's going to be people who are going to be more effective, passing laws. There's going to be people who are more effective sharing messages online, or speaking out, writing like you're doing. So, that's awesome. I'm so blessed to have you on the show today and sharing your wisdom. And see, I knew it was going to be an awesome, it was going to be an awesome interview. Is there anything else that maybe we haven't covered, that any other last tidbit of wisdom and knowledge that you'd like to share before we close out today?
Sure. Just one last thing. If you hear nothing else, hear, and this is, again, birthed out of my philosophies. I have a ton of philosophies and things that I share with people. And that is, the greatest form of self-development is self-discovery. The greatest form of self-development is self-discovery. Everything you desire to be, everything you desire to see manifested in your life, everything you desire to experience, it's already within. The work is within. It is, people want to talk about leveling up, and people want to talk about evolving. And, we're in this culture where everything is futuristic and everything, and everyone wants to build. And I always say, lay a foundation first. Learn what you already are, right? It'll take you a lifetime to appreciate what already exists, to discover it, and then to appreciate it, and then to utilize. God has filled you with so much, so many possibilities, so much potential, so gifted, so talented. You're full of so much already. You came in with it. You came in loaded. And so I'm just here to kind of introduce something different to the culture. Stop trying to build on and level up and 10X and grow and expand. And okay, that's fine. None of it is wrong. But if you would just learn to see what is already there, I'm living this thing. Yeah. There is wonders. We are oceans. There is an ocean. There is an entire ecosystem beneath your surface. But we're not taught to look beneath the surface. We're taught to build. And I'm saying, I'm coming as a voice to say, look beneath the surface. You are an ocean. You are an ocean. You are the ocean that you were created to dive. Do a deep dive. Get beneath your surface. See what's already there. I promise you, there are treasures, endless treasures within you if you begin to look within. So,
well, you have inspired me today to finish writing my book, because one of the things I talk about is to value your uniqueness.
Yes.
And that's really what we're talking about. It's really, it's appreciate what you have already, because as you said, we came here fully loaded. So it's just a matter of appreciating that and using God's gifts that we have. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Oh, I know what I forgot to ask you.
Important.
If someone wants to learn more about you and, you know, get your book, where is the best place for them to connect with you?
Yes, IamThePossible.com. That's it. Everything is, I made it very easy to find me online. So all of my SEO and everything, it's, if you just type in I am the possible, then it's there. But IamThePossible.com.
Okay,
that's where you can find it.
Very good. All right. Well, I will have that in the show notes as well, but I did want to make sure we got that in there. So thank you again for being with us today. It was such a pleasure to meet you. And I look forward to seeing what else you have coming down the pike looking forward to hearing more from you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was a blessing. It was a privilege.
Thank you. And for all of those listening and watching, I thank you as well. And just as a reminder, if you can, you'll be able to get this episode and future and past episodes, as well as future episodes. You go to liveloveengagepodcast.com. You'll be able to find everything there. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's liveloveengage.com.